Welcome to South Mecklenburg Presbyterian Church. We're an inclusive, vibrant faith community located in the Ballantyne neighborhood of Charlotte, North Carolina. We seek to worship, grow, and serve with intention as disciples of Jesus Christ and strive to be a place where all are welcome and made to feel at home. We are members of the Presbyterian Church USA. We are led by our pastor, Dr. Matt Brown, and our associate pastors, Dr. Whitney Baer and Reverend Lindsay Odom. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10:10 a.m. in the sanctuary or via live stream at smpchome.org.
Let us pray. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal your radical, surprising love. Come to us through your holy word, and let us hear what you would say to us this day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Our first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verses 6 through 9. Let us listen for God's living word. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on earth to be his people, his treasured possession. It was not because you were more numerous than any other people that the Lord set his heart on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your ancestors, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who maintains covenant loyalty with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
Thank you. Let us pray. Holy God, we come again to hear the story of your great love for us. Speak to us now, reveal yourself, and fill our hearts with joy, so that we may spread your message of love today, tomorrow, and every day that is to come. Amen. Our second scripture reading comes to us from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let us listen now for God's living word. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. From an early age, we are taught to be successful. I still have memories of my mom taking my sisters and I to elementary school in the mornings and making us recite our multiplication tables on the way there so that we would do well in our math classes and be successful. As each academic semester came to a close, you would not believe the anxiousness that report cards brought me. On top of that, my twin sister always excelled in math more than I did, so it was a constant struggle that brought bragging rights in our house, and I really could not stand it. Thank goodness online platforms like PowerSchool for parents to check their kids' grades on did not exist when I was in school. At the time, I did not think much of it, but now looking back at this and through my experiences working with children and youth, the bar is set so high. Children are expected to perform well in school and in their extracurricular activities. Youth are expected to make certain grades, perform well on their standardized testing, such as the SAT or ACT, pass their AP test, and be involved in lots of extracurricular activities outside of school to boost their resume and get accepted into college. Even adults are constantly faced with expectations to succeed, often leading them to measure themselves against others and measure their own success, whether that is in the workplace, in their relationships, their wealth or appearance, or even in the way that they parent. Now, do not get me wrong, some expectations are good and healthy for people to have as they give us a sense of how we measure up, which can be valuable information for self-improvement and knowing whether we have progressed, but they can also become stressful and overwhelming. In the third chapter of John's first epistle in verse 1, John writes, "See what love the Father has given us, that we shall be called children of God, and that is what we are." Friends, in the eyes of God, we do not have to try to measure up or compare ourselves to others. In the eyes of God, we are not our jobs, we are not our academic success, and we are not the things that we are good at or not as good at. Rather, we are all God's beloved children. To be God's beloved children is both an honor and a privilege. In biblical thought, the expression children of God literally means those who are like God. The expression children of God helps us understand that since we are all created in God's image, there's a hint of God's divinity vested in each one of us. We as human beings bear God's image. We possess an innate value beyond anything else in God's created order. And as God's beloved children, we have been known by God since before we were even born. Even prophet Jeremiah reminds us of this in Jeremiah 1:5 when he says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Think for just a moment about what this means and how powerful that truly is. Not only did God know us long before we were born, but God uniquely created each one of us for a purpose. There's no other person exactly like you. We're all made in the image of God, and it is God who sustains us and gives us our life purpose. God wants us to use our variety of God-given gifts to further God's plan and God's purposes in our world. And because we are all God's beloved children, it provides the assurance that each of us are deeply loved, uniquely created by God, and have a purpose to do what we were created and called to do, and to strive to make a difference in our world. One of my favorite children's books titled When God Made You by Matthew Paul Turner affirms this when it says, You, when God made you, God made you all shiny and new. An incredible you, a you all your own, a you unlike anyone else ever known. An exclusive design, one that God refined, you're a perfectly crafted one of a kind. 'Cause when God made you, somehow God knew that the world needed someone exactly like you. You, God thinks about you. God was thinking of you long before your debut. Let the warmth of this fill your heart that we are all God's beloved children, uniquely created for a purpose, and loved by God before we were even born. The world needs each one of us and is a better place because God created us. I hope each of you can recognize how special, unique, and loved you are by God. As God's beloved children, all of us are special, set apart, and singled out in creation for distinctive glory. Being a child of God reminds us that every single person is loved deeply by God, no matter who they are or what they look like. It also reminds us that we were created to be like God. So as God's children, we not only have a human similarity to God, but we also have a role and responsibility to faithfully reflect and represent God within our world today. We are made to be like God so that we might live as God's representatives in our world. I know what you are thinking. I have just given you a huge expectation to live up to, but I have great news. In striving to faithfully reflect and represent God within our world today, we must recognize that this is not a task that we do on our own accord. As God's beloved children, God promises to always guide us because God has a special purpose for our lives. God walks alongside us every day to help us fulfill that purpose. I always associate our gospel passage from 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, with baptism, the sacrament that grounds our identity and engrafts us into the body of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. At baptism, God claims us, defines our inherent worth, and commissions us outward as disciples of Christ. All of our values are founded upon this initial call. Baptism is a visual reminder of God's unconditional love for us. During our baptism, God does what we cannot do for ourselves and initiates love, grace, and salvation. The water that is used in our baptism not only represents that our sins have been washed away, but it also reorients our lives and sets us on a new path. Our former sinful ways and sinful selves are made new, and we are reminded of our true identity as a beloved child of God. In seminary, I had a professor call the class beloved every time we gathered or came back together after a short break. This professor was affirming who we are and whose we are, which is beloved children of God. I appreciated this professor saying it as often as they did because I personally know how hard it is to believe this sometimes. If I'm being honest, sometimes when I look at myself in the mirror, I don't always see someone that looks lovable. Sometimes I even have a hard time feeling loved. This is something that I am working on, and I know it's a result of going through my parents' difficult divorce and having a challenging relationship with my mom. I imagine many of you have instances where you feel unworthy too. In these times, this verse from 1 John 3:1, which says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we shall be called children of God, and that is what we are," has become a source of support for me. These words comfort me and sustain me when I need to be reminded of how deeply God loves me. These words remind me that I am a beloved and valued child of God like all of you. So I hope this verse can become a source of support and encouragement for you all as well. Chances are some of you could use this reminder too, that we are unconditionally loved by God, and the proof of the love of God is being, and being called children of God. For it's in this passage that John calls our attention to the manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, and reminding us that we are God's children and that we belong to God. John not only calls our attention to the love of God that makes us God's children, but he also calls our attention to a life of love, and how we are supposed to live a life of love, especially when Christ returns. While John assures us that we are already present at present children of God, the future will bring some changes due to Christ's return. Today in verse 2 we read, "What we will be has not yet been revealed." This statement delicately balances the relationship between the present and the future. There is some uncertainty because we do not know what we shall be, as Christ has not yet returned. However, this uncertainty is offset by the assurance that we already are God's children. This has already occurred and does not need to be earned. It's further offset by the assurance that we shall be like him. So the hopeful note that we can take hold of is that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. We may not know exactly what we are going to be like when God's work in Christ is completed in us, but we do know this. We are going to be like Jesus, and this is cause for great hope. In thinking about what it means to be like Jesus, John encourages us as God's children to live as those who cannot be understood apart from Jesus Christ. Or in simpler words, to live like Christ would. Living as those who cannot be understood apart from Jesus requires us to recognize that we are all children of God and that the character of God, the compassionate, merciful, loving, and just character of God, becomes a part of who we are. As a result of this, we are to reflect God's divine image and live like the one who represented God and gave us an example to follow, which is Jesus Christ. I encourage you all to consider a person or experience that has reflected the image and character of God at work in our world or at work in your own life. For me personally, one that comes to mind was this past February when youth and families from our church came together to help with Room in the Inn. For those of you that are not familiar with Room in the Inn, Room in the Inn collaborates with local churches to provide shelter and basic needs for people experiencing homelessness during the winter months. I saw the image and character of God at work through the way our youth lovingly served our neighbors by assisting with their laundry, serving them dinner, making their lunches for the next day, helping them settle in their rooms, and providing a welcoming and hospitable presence. But even more than this, I saw the image and character of God at work most through the way our youth compassionately interacted and formed relationships with our homeless neighbors and their kids. From youth sitting beside our neighbors at dinner and talking to them and learning their story, to other youth playing with their children and coloring with them, it almost drew me to tears in the way that our youth were living out their faith and making a difference by investing in them and striving to meet their needs. So I challenge you all to consider how you will project the image of God in your words and actions and live like Christ would, just like our SMPC youth did. We must remember that when Jesus came to earth, his mission and ministry consisted of teaching, healing the sick, feeding the poor, crossing boundaries and eating with sinners, becoming a servant and washing the disciples' feet, taking time to be with children, treating his followers as equals, and committing the greatest sacrifice of love in dying on the cross for us. Through his actions, Jesus taught volumes about how God loves each one of us and showed us how to live. Jesus is the one who gives us the blueprint on how to live, just as much as I rely on Apple CarPlay to give me directions on how to navigate Charlotte. But in all seriousness, Jesus is the one who shows us the way and teaches us how to live. The Gospel of John affirms this when it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What this means for our life is that Jesus is the one who goes with us on our journey of faith. And we must remember that God carefully and uniquely constructed us in God's image for a purpose. And Jesus promises to never leave us until that purpose is fulfilled. So this should add comfort and a sense of peace to the actions we take, dreams we fulfill, and the decisions that we make, knowing that every step we are accompanied by Jesus Christ, who is always with us. Jesus shows us how to know and do the will of God, but we also have a role to play. In Jesus' example of teaching by doing, Jesus gave his followers a true picture of what it means to follow him and to live according to the ways and will of God. Additionally, among Jesus' final words to his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel of John, are these calls to action. Do the works that I do. Do what I command you. Go and bear fruit. We are to imitate Jesus' purity, selfless humility, and his desire to love and serve others. When we do this, we will begin to understand what it means to live as a child of God and live a life of love, like John describes in our gospel passage. Jesus gave us an example to follow as he lived out the love of God in both his teachings and his actions, and he calls us to go and do likewise. Kayla Craig, author of To Light Their Way, powerfully reflects on what it means to live as a child of God and do as Jesus did in one of her prayers. So I would like to share a part of her prayer with you all. Holy God, we know that in you all are given life. You have created each one of us in love, and we are instructed to live in Christ's love. So may we grow to walk in paths of peace. May we run the race set out before us and lie down in green pastures when we are tired and need rest. May we grow in truth and gentleness and in wisdom and in grace. May we, as God's children, dance with abandon and never be afraid to cry. May we be rooted in love and live with open hands and hearts. May we choose peace over violence and empathy over judgment. Give us the gift of community anchored in your love, O God. Give us the gift of others who will act as a compass when we need your help. Remind us that each one of us is created to be in relationships with others. May we follow you always and proclaim the miracle of who you are in all we create, in all we say, and in all we do. This prayer reminds us that we are called to do likewise in teaching the good news of God's love through our words, our actions, and our being, and follow Christ's example in living out a life of love. Even in times when we are lost, confused, stuck in a state of despair or grief, or in times when we look at ourselves and don't feel lovable, Christ brings us hope and reminds us that we are loved beyond what we could ever imagine, as we are all God's beloved children. This truly is the foundation for our faith. This passage assures us of this and assures us that we all belong to God through Christ and because of God's great love for us. This passage also assures us that when Christ returns, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. While no one knows the day or hour of Jesus' return, Scripture assures us that all things will be made new, and there will be no more tears, no more death, no more mourning, no more pain, for all of these things will have passed away. In the meantime, we are to become like Christ until the day when our eyes are opened and everything is transformed because of Christ's return. May we use this time after Easter to be renewed people because of Jesus' resurrection that creates newness and transformation for us. May we have hope and be on the lookout for the day when the risen Christ will return and transform all of us into his image. In this waiting time, may we remember that the result of God's love is that we are all called God's beloved children. May we live into this identity by reflecting the very being and character of Jesus within our own lives. May we strive to imitate Jesus' purity, selfless humility, and his desire to love and serve others. May we recognize that faithful discipleship rests on the declaration of what we already are. Loved by God, beloved children of God now, promised that we will be like Jesus when he appears, and called to live a life of love until that day occurs. And in thinking about living out our faith in a manner of love, will we do all we can to build and to mend, to love what God loves, to heal and transcend? Will we use all that we are to love strangers and friends and try to help others see God's dreams for them? Will we fight the good fight and with faith move a mountain? will we find and discover joy, make peace, and help justice increase. May we go forth knowing that we teach the faith best through the lives that we live. Amen.